Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wild Ol', and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wild Ol' and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? I don't know if this is recording right now. Check. One, two,
check.
It's up.
Check. It's up. It's up.
One,
we got
two.
A thumbs up.
Check, check.
Out of the box.
The behind-the-scenes work and the sweat that a Carmen DeFalco is doing to get this thing into the system and then hopefully up. So if you're listening to this right now, great success by Carmen DeFalco.
Who is advising you, Carmen?
Randall Merkin.
Randall Merkin was advising you.
Via
vacation?
I think Brett's got a tournament in St. Louis this weekend. So
beautiful.
I think they're on their way to St. Louis.
Okay.
And
St. Louis, very swampy this time of year.
Oh, God.
Swampy.
Swamp city.
No, as far as I can tell, I haven't, Sylvie and I haven't done tech stuff for many, many years around these parts, but I think I've got the podcast properly up and running.
It's rolling in the computer
rolling.
Right now.
Speaking of you and Sylvie, who was the cat that walked by the studio yesterday?
Yeah, Sean Witt walked by.
What would Sean Witt say about the two of you knuckleheads if, in fact, we could get him in the truth serum?
But he was a knucklehead, too.
Yeah, he was, too.
He was probably Captain Knucklehead.
Okay. We were all knuckleheads. We had a good times with Sean. Sean was our old producer way back in the day. And then he got out of the business.
Whether or not you guys were dicks.
No.
You were hard to work with.
No.
I said I was demanding. You know me. I mean, I've grown up. I'm still all demanding.
Yeah, but being demanding.
Have fun with it.
You're grown up. Oh, boy.
I am grown up comparatively.
Sure. Well, you're an adult.
No
You've got children, so theoretically you've matured.
And being demanding in your job. I mean, expecting a lot of the people around you is not the worst thing either. I mean, you care about it. But
like having a producer to hook us up for this?
Well, that was a slight oversight on, I think, a few people. Because Merck normally does it, but again, he's gone. And so
he's not going to listen to this either. If he's not, behind the glass, he doesn't want to hear shit,
probably
fuck,
not.
Balls, cock. That's not what he wants to hear.
And he's, the term out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
When he's out of sight, we're out of mind.
Oh, yeah.
As long as he's gone, then he doesn't give a shit about anything else while we're here.
He picked up the phone right away when I called him.
I'm not going to lie. When I was in South Carolina, I couldn't give a fuck about you guys either. I want you guys to be healthy and happy, but I'm not.
It was funny. When Cuddy was in studio, I texted Waddle because we were having fun at Waddle's expense, of course. And I'm like, hey, why don't you call in, surprise Cuddy, Kyle Long dead.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't Waddle didn't respond for 2 hours. He's like, I was on the beach.
Fuck that.
Yeah, drinking. He sent me a picture of either a Coors or a Miller Lite. And then I texted him. I go, Cuddy's still here. Call now. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Well, vacation.
I don't blame him on vacation.
No, I know. I know. But it was just funny.
I kind of shut it down, too, on vacation. And whenever I'm in if I'm at a staycation like I was this last time, of course, when I'm in the car, the station's always on. But I when I'm on vacation, I don't go out of my way, really.
Decompress.
It's like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I just want to kind of get away from it all. Yeah, just decompress.
Same with you, right, Johnny? Johnny, you don't give a fuck about any of us when you're on vacation.
When I'm here, and a lot of my stuff I do is here.
Staycation-wise,
when I got time off, it's just me being, not working. I mean, you still got stuff going on in the neighborhood and around here, play golf. I'll listen to station, but...
When you're in Pinehurst?
When I'm in Pinehurst, never.
No chance.
Not even on the app, and I can just download
That's
the app
what I'm,
and I can
yeah,
listen
no.
into the app.
Mm-mm.
Not even to get a flavor of what's happening or what's going on.
I'm going to Vegas in a month. I'm going on a Thursday morning, so I'll be there Thursday, Friday. I can promise you I won't be listening to you guys that Thursday and Friday afternoon by the pool in Vegas. There's no chance.
This all makes sense for people who work here. But I would suggest that any listener who goes on vacation should listen to us on vacation and on the app.
Absolutely. But I think that it's that's for a lot of people, we're the escape. So it helps.
Right.
So they always do it. For us, our escape, I think,
escape
is a little different.
From the escape.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you need the escape from the escape.
Any job you have, you need
time away
to decompress from it.
Correct.
Yes.
I think that's the difference, yeah.
So Sean Witt, the guy who you saw out there, he came with his family, he lives in Oklahoma now.
Yes.
He was our producer. It was him and it was Chris Collins, who worked many years down the dial. Oh, I think even in a management role.
Yeah.
And
is this when you guys were saving the music?
Yes.
We were saving the music. Like, there's always the World Series story that we could tell. And then they were also the producers who, when we had, I think it was Tim from the South Side, who still calls today, used to leave us messages where he would motherfuck us.
Is he guy that calls Cap?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a huge Southside Cubs fan, and he motherfucks everyone about the White Sox. And if you don't back the Cubs, like, he rips you for that, and then he'll just rip the White Sox. And this was back in 05, where he used to leave us voicemail messages, and he left us one so graphic that we decided to play it on the air.
Yeah.
But Chris and Sean did not properly edit it with the bleep, so the fucks were...
You guys got a couple of days off.
Jim Pastor said, look, as you two as hosts, you need, and he's right, you guys need to review the audio, too. Wait,
did you have dump buttons in front of you?
I don't think we thought it needed to be dumped either. Like,
right.
Yeah.
We just made a mistake.
I was 34. Carmen was what, 29?
28. Yeah, 28.
You guys were freestyling.
Yeah. 29. Yeah, we just.
And it was right before, and I've told this part of the story, it was right before Bears Carolina and the Steve Smith game.
Yep.
So the Bears were having this great year. All of a sudden now it's December, and we get ourselves a 2-week. I think they gave us a paid vacation, though.
It was a paid vacation.
But so maybe this was something that you guys had planned, if you got a paid vacation.
No, because this is when they used the time to experiment with Salisbury and Rosenblum.
Oh, okay.
And then 5 months later, we were moved to 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
And then the worst show in Chicago sports radio history was born at 9 a.m.
Easily.
Was it the worst show in history?
Oh, God.
And you're the reason. They're another reason why you're here.
Yeah. They realized how badly they had fucked up.
The timeline goes, Carmen and I were new and young, yep. and I thought we would have been huge. And I think we were trending that way towards the end.
You guys were the huge show before the huge show was the huge show.
Yeah.
Huge
and low. We were the huge show after the huge show.
Yeah, we were the huge show after. Yeah.
Somewhat huge show.
Without getting beaten up. And then Salisbury and Rosenblum go on the air, and it was so bad that in a year...
What made it bad?
Catastrophic.
Well, Salisbury, first of all, didn't live here. He was doing the show from Dallas.
He had no idea about Chicago. No,
by the way, he's doing 6 to 10 in Dallas, I think, now, the mornings.
Yeah, he had promised that he would be in town more, and all he did was do the show from his condo. And,
never here. He didn't know anything about what was going on here. He didn't care to know. I've heard he's a changed man now, right. And that is good.
He was showing his dick pictures to interns.
He was showing his cock to every female intern and employee that worked
in this
building.
Wasn't this before Favre?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I saw him working on the BN Network, where he was hosting a sports show. And it was him, another gentleman, and young lady that were hosting the BN Network. It's where they used to have BN.
They used to have soccer.
They used to have La Liga soccer on before the contract was over.
Yep.
Now you can't find BN Network anywhere. But I saw him there. Mm-hmm. If anything, that might humble you a little bit. But
he's doing mornings in Texas.
In Texas, but
that's where he belongs. And he's good. He's good at what he does. He wasn't made for this job.
When you get your opportunity, that'd be like me going down to Texas, and all of a sudden I've got
a Brian Kelly draw,
you know, out of nowhere. All of a sudden, I've become a Texan and a
cowboy.
Dude,
give us some.
I can do a little John Wayne back in the heyday.
Oh yes, you can.
Hey, Pilgrim.
Hey, hello.
Come on, if you're leading a show off in Houston right now,
everybody, welcome to Houston 1099. The Power. Yeah. Johnny the Good Kid is your host today. Johnny,
welcome to Minute Maid.
Boy, it's hotter out there today than the sweat on a horsey's balls. We down here in Texas. Ooh-wee.
They do talk loud and fast and with the twang, right?
Tonight we got ourselves a hootenanny down at John's Country Bunker. Come on down.
You're going out to the rodeo tonight. Come by our
fresh
booth.
Barbecue. It's queuing it up tonight. It's happening,
I think we
got some line dancing coming, you betcha.
I think we just created a monster.
Cousin Jimmy and his three uncles coming on out. They're going to perform.
Personalized bell belt buckle to the first 50 listeners that come by.
It's coming out, howdy, boys.
And little Chucky got the washboard. He's going to be playing the washboard.
The washboard.
God, we're not in Tuscaloosa or Tupelo.
No,
we're talking about Dallas.
Are you sure? No, this is Houston, though, I thought that. Yeah. We moved it to Houston. Let's go to the legend now. Really big Sandy Texas. He's now coaching our Texans.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith calling in.
What do y'all want from me? What are the answers y'all looking for?
You guys should do the show. Open the show
we're
today.
We're in the first quarter
Open
of the
your
preseason.
Show today.
Like we're down in Houston?
Yes.
Yeah.
The best
You'd
is
have
when,
to change your name. You can't be an Italian when, down there.
No, we're going to have a little Glenn Campbell
the
today.
Best is like, the best
Amarillo
is like...
Amarillo by morning.
Speaking of changing your intro, like 8 years ago, we thought it... We thought it'd be funny to do a April Fool's prank where we
came out speaking Spanish.
Speaking Spanish,
and Ray Flores wrote an entire script for us. Like right. He recorded the open and then wrote for us in Spanish.
Yeah,
like how we were going to start the show.
Ready. Like
we
changed the direction of
the format,
and we were going to do it. And that was like April Fool's jokes are pretty lame, but we thought that was going to be a good one.
And I don't even think you need April Fool's to do that. Morning of, you can execute that anytime.
Hold on, though. In the 11th hour,
the morning of, Adam Delvitt goes, we can't do
cold
it.
Got cold feet.
Why?
We thought, yeah, and then, of course, Yurko was pretty pissed. And Yurko goes, son of a bitch, he probably agreed to it, knowing he'd never let us do it. He just strung us along for 2 weeks. And then the day it got here, we got cold feet, and he didn't want it. Yurko goes, he never was going to let us do it. But Ray wrote this whole script and recorded this over.
Ray did the hard work.
Yeah, it was great.
Ray Flores.
Oh, I think
great.
You guys should do like a Dallas show today when you're coming out.
I thought it would have been great.
It would have been pretty fun. We were going to do the whole first segment.
We're going to try to do the whole first segment.
Trying to speak Spanish and just reading off of the script that Ray wrote.
You can't do the first segment in English.
I understand.
Are you kidding?
I understand.
Touche.
I mean,
it was written out.
You're
doing the first segment in English.
Scripted.
He's tapping out at 05.
It was scripted. Nazi was going to come on as a guest, and we're going to speak Spanish to
I don't
Ozzie.
Think we were going to
come out
Ozzie
today. Come out today at noon. It's Carmine and the Big Cowboy.
Carmine and the Big Cowboy.
Let's get her going. Come on now.
What do we got today, Carmine?
Come on, no, Carmencio.
So the timeline goes, Carmen and I get suspended late December, early January for the playoff game.
Yeah.
They're trying out Salisbury and Rosenbloom. April 1st, Salisbury and Rosenbloom of 2006 get the job. By Super Bowl, this is February of 07.
Yes.
They're talking to Waddle to get the job done of bringing Waddle over from GM.
Yeah.
Less than a year away.
I rode the bus to the Super Bowl sitting next to Adam Delavitt when the Bears were playing the Colts.
He had to towel himself off when he was done.
Oh, my God.
True. We had to towel ourselves off because we were in a fucking bus for for like I would say about 2.5 hours going from Fort Lauderdale.
Oof.
Or from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, where the stadium is, wherever the stadium is, in between, I think.
It's really? Good.
It's unbelievable,
It's a good look back.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how the things happened. The chain reaction of everything.
The chain reaction of events, It's. Can you believe how long ago that? That's like 15 years ago now already.
Oh, my gosh,
Isn't that something?
And then you know the story about when we were in Houston, they sent us to Houston for the World Series. We didn't get the Mac Yurko and Harry hookup.
Mm-mm. They didn't get the treatment. We're up in the booth.
Where were you guys at?
They sent us to so remember, this is in the wake of Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And so you have a lot of displaced New Orleans residents in Houston, living
Correct.
In Houston.
So the hotels were packed.
Hotels packed. So we're in a literal roadside motel on the outskirts
it's not like
of
Houston. We weren't in downtown. We were on the outskirts. We were by the airport.
No, this was a Roach Motel,
It was
literally.
A Roach Motel.
Yeah, you guys were in terrible motel.
Yeah, it was
And bad. We all got there And then sure enough, like we all called each other at the same time because like as I sat down to take a shit, as we first got there after a long flight, long day of traveling.
There was an iguana in your toilet.
No, there were roaches in the bathroom.
Yeah.
They were
swimming. Scurrying across
the pool.
Floor.
They're in the pool.
Like, not hiding.
What are you doing? They're dropping bombs on us?
They're like, you're in our territory. We're here to cover the games 3 and 4 of the World Series. Yeah. We're like,
so you guys didn't stay there?
No.
We checked out and this was still the day where you couldn't get the internet on your phone. So we went through the yellow pages and we called all the hotels.
05.
And then we got the Residence Inn across the street from Reliance Stadium.
Yep.
Had a super suite. One of their suites open. It was a loft.
Super suite.
Where you had a bunk bed in the top or something like
that's right.
And the guy at the The guy, this, you're not going to believe this, the guy who answered the phone at the local Houston hotel was a displaced Chicago resident who listened to our show online. Come on.
The transplant. He said, I listen to you guys online every day.
You're reminded all the time how small the world really is.
He's the one. And he got us into the last room at the residence.
We're checking right there. You were busy fucking tossing into a luxury hotel mattress, weren't you?
By the way, luxury hotel is a little bit of a misnomer down in Houston. Our hotel, not much better than yours, but downtown.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But it was not much better.
I don't like Houston.
We didn't stay.
And I don't know if it's
I'm not a big Houston guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because my experience there that is like that's my one and only experience in but I mean it was a good experience. The White Sox won, but it was I don't know. I found the city. It's so Dallas is kind of like this too. It's just so spread out. It's just there's no quaintness to it. Like
for NFL Network, I think Fran Charles and I did a bowl game.
Doing a bowl game.
Did a bowl game. I think it was like in Houston, and that's I think the only time I've spent a meaningful amount of time there. And there, I wasn't overly.
You never played the Oilers?
I think it was me. It was me, Fran Charles, and Les Snead's wife.
Really?
Who's Kara Henderson? Right. Who wasn't Les Snead's wife at the time. Became Les Snead's wife. She worked at the NFL Network.
I didn't know that.
Before she went to L.A.
Yeah. I was unaware.
Yeah.
Cool as hell. She's a great girl.
I found Houston to be okay. I went to Rick's Cafe. I went to some nice restaurants
but
out
he still
there.
Remembers Rick's Cafe.
Not a problem. No. I
Rick's
enjoy.
Cafe is like as
well,
an
that's
ode
what happens
to
when a big cowboy walks in.
It's Tuckabuck.
Oh, it's a Tuckabuck.
I've
never heard one called a cafe.
Yeah.
Really?
Rick's Cafe.
Oh, come on.
Are you thinking Rick's Cabaret or Rick's Cafe?
No, Rick's
I think
Cafe.
He may be right.
I've never heard Rick's Cafe.
I mix up the two.
Well, at least that's the way I may have explained it.
I may have
explained it as a Rick's Cafe.
Rick's Cafe is from Casablanca. Yeah. That's Humphrey Bogart's place.
Yeah.
He was Rick, Rick's Cafe. Yeah.
That's where
it could have been.
That's where Anna Nicole
walking around in the band.
Anna Nicole Smith was. That was her haunt.
Really?
That's where she hung out and met the old guy that she eventually
is that
married.
Right?
She's
and
been
got
gone
all
for
money.
A long time, hasn't she?
Oh gosh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, she's been dead a while.
I'm looking this up here.
Is it Rick's Cafe?
Yeah, there was a Rick's Cabaret on 410 North Sam Houston Parkway, Houston, Texas. That I do believe is now closed. Here's a story. Strippers finally settle with Rick's Cabaret for $15 million.
Wow. What did you do, Johnny?
I still think Rick's Cafe was...
Look, there's no joke.
I explained it.
Oh my!
There's a picture of the good kid there with his shirt off, isn't there?
Updated April 3rd, 2015.
Carm, let's tell the story of how we went to Indianapolis for the Super Bowl.
Brad's Gold Club?
We had a similar experience like Sylvie and I did.
They put us northwest
really
of the city.
Brad's Gold Club?
Oh, Brad's Gold Club, at least back in the day, was the creme de la creme in Indy.
Brad.
In the Indy
I'm Brad.
I told you
Welcome
I was going
to
write a
club.
Book about this.
You should know this.
Yeah. Houston-based cabaret chain may finally be seeing an end to a prolonged legal battle with some of its dancers. Courthouse News Services reports 2,300 current and former dancers.
Oh,
2,300 at Rick's Cabaret.
Was it a big joint, Johnny?
Wow. Are pushing for a $15 million settlement later this month.
Holy. Most strippers I ever saw in one place was Lollipops.
Where's that?
Lollipops is in Daytona Beach, Florida.
That makes sense.
And it was during Daytona, the 500. It was coming up to the Daytona 500.
That makes perfect sense.
They were coming in from out of state.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They were coming in from everywhere. And, man, it was nothing but strippers everywhere.
Yeah.
Strippers and NASCAR fans. Man,
whoa,
what
a combination.
I don't know if you can get a better combination.
I think that is the essence of everything.
I saw two doors open, two guys get tossed out. They closed the doors right behind them. Yeah. They weren't coming back in.
It was like a double deuce.
Good
tossed out or tossed
double deuce?
Tossed
out. From Roadhouse?
Double deuce. All right, let's tell a story about Indianapolis. We get to Indianapolis. We're staying at a hotel. I check into my room.
500?
Smells like beach.
No, for the Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl.
Smells like beach.
Bleach.
That's the sign of a dead body.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I looked on the floor, and I think there was a little bit of a faded outline down there.
Yeah.
And I looked at these guys. There's no way in hell we're staying here. And then I think Carmen had gotten to the front and goes, we're not staying here.
Then
Danny was with us.
Yeah.
And then Danny's wife worked for somebody, and they had Super Bowl rooms booked south of the city. And
did you room
Let's
together
go down
then?
There.
No, we had a big hotel room again,
it
I feel
beautiful.
Like. Didn't we?
Yeah,
didn't
we have great hotels.
Yeah, we stayed
the
like
after the dead body ourselves. Hotel didn't
we
work
checked
out.
Out that Friday morning. We checked out. They had nobody coming in. They had to rent them for the week.
Right.
They had nobody coming in until that Friday. So once we checked out, boom, everything was good. Hey, there's other people coming to stay here for the rest of the time, so keep the rooms. Perfect.
Where were we at? Was it in Arizona for the Super Bowl?
I don't remember this like you do, though. Like, I remember, I was younger.
I remember it's when he first started.
Shag carpet.
I don't remember being this bad.
I think there was blood all over mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God. That was from you.
But I remember because we met in a Mexican bar.
Yes.
That night, or like a place that, yes. you know, tacos yes. and stuff like yeah. a restaurant.
Remember how cold it was? Remember how cold it was for that Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was chilly. It was chilly.
We had this great, well, we were working then at 9. And then so we would leave an hour or two before the show. Yeah. And Arizona was then on West Coast time. So it was like 5 a.m. dark. And, yeah. and we had to scrape frost off our windshield in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah. After sleeping in a room with you know, the scent of a dead body and blood all over Shag Carpet.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Yeah, it was awful.
That's also where Mac Yurko and Harry had the meeting with Norby Williamson.
All right, nobody needs to go.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about going in the weeds.
No, I want to.
Nobody knows who Norby Williamson
was. This in the oral history of Mac Yurko and Harry on The Athletic?
No. Norby's the head of ESPN.
Norby's like one of the most powerful men at ESPN.
Right, it was Justin Craig and Norby Williamson, and there was a conversation to be had about the MJH show.
And what was the conversation?
The conversation was supposed to be led by one Dan McNeil. There wasn't much coming out of Danny McNeil at that point. And it was just that if they weren't satisfied with our show, maybe they should let us go, let us out of contract, we'll move someplace else. Because at that time, you know, there was the whole
shit was
contentious
going
where we were on the edge, like we can be on the edge now, but we're on the edge, but it wasn't quite ESPN Disney friendly.
Right.
So it's like, okay, if you don't like it, you're going to keep putting barriers on what we can and we can't do. Maybe we should
spread our wings.
Right.
Let us go.
I'll tell you what.
So Norby with Justin Craig, they reiterated the fact that they wanted us here. They wanted to have us here. They respected the show. This, that. But there are rules out there.
It was a revolutionary sports radio show. I'll always say that. For all the problems you guys had at the end and the infighting between those two, that show was must listen. That show put us on the map as a radio station, and that show was a revolutionary sports radio show.
The product that was coming out was good stuff. The first 2 years, I went back and I listened because we had the tapes. Oh, my God. I don't know how we ever
made it. It's the beginning, though. I mean, yeah.
I know. I get it, but I don't know how we ever made it. Thank God they were patient with us.
Of that show really was something. I mean, there was a couple of years there. Probably you guys were rocking and rolling, and it was
5, 6, 7.
It was great. Around there. It was great stuff. Yeah. It really was.
The Bears were doing well. The White Sox were doing well. The other station put T-Lander on the air, which...
I love Rick, but yeah.
I love Rick personally, but...
Backhand flips down the street when that happened. Unlistenable, and then they'd come over here.
Great. It's fantastic. Not a problem. Thank you.
It's a lot of memories at this point.
Yeah, there was a combination of things that happened. Yeah. A perfect storm, a geostorm, if you will.
Just watch that movie.
Yeah, a geostorm. That worked out to benefit that particular show. We had fun.
Waddle, did you ever get close to getting into a fist fight with Cap when you guys worked together?
Nope.
Never.
Not at all.
You knew you would have pummeled them, though.
Cap was a different cat back then.
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying, like...
For the better or worse.
He wasn't doing television, so, I mean, like, you know, Sports Central was kind of the epicenter of all of it. He was tied into the Cubs, and, like, he was very Cubs-centric at that time. But, no, we never had any issues.
We've had, like, none of us here have ever come close to, like, physical violence.
Physical violence?
Never.
No.
Not even close. You know, we've had some moments where we've been maybe a little angry at each other. And we've yelled at each other.
Waddle and I would yell at each other over Cutler back in the day. In the pre-show meetings, they would get tenuous.
We ran out of breadsticks, Carmen yelled at me.
Well, you know Carmen. Carmen gets mad at, like, the weirdest thing. I could buy that.
You still have a burr in your saddle for that restaurant?
Well, yeah, I think it's it's insulting to insinuate, that's somehow authentic Italian food. And, you know, you got Abdallah. Abdallah says, so Black's going to Italy with his wife at the end of the summer. Black and Autumn are going. I think they're going to Paris and then they're going to Italy. And so we're talking about it. And smart ass Abdallah goes, make sure you consult with Carmen. I'll give you a bunch of good restaurants. What's it called? Olive Garden. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I love that that makes you mad.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, shut up. None of that.
Please. That's my favorite trip of all time was
Italy.
Going to Italy. Oh, I went 30 years ago.
I know. I got to go.
Unbelievable.
I haven't been in 10 years.
We think that like things are old in this country. Like please. Boston's probably the place you would go if you want to see old history in this country.
Philly and Boston.
And Boston. But, like, it's
not even
child's play compared to
about thousands of years worth of history.
It's why I laugh. It's why I laugh over, like, the Soldier Field stuff. I know it's a World War I monument. Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's fantastic. And we never do enough for our troops. But the way we protect some of the things here as landmarks compared to the Coliseum.
I get the Coliseum. You see the Coliseum and you can't even believe that it's been there.
Oh, it's incredible.
2,000 years. And it is. It's absolutely. It's an achievement of architecture. I mean, it's just everything about it. You can't imagine.
It's unbelievable.
Well, one of my favorite moments that I ever had was not even, like, the tour inside the Colosseum was awesome.
Yes,
like,
it's just awesome.
It's awe-inspiring. But one night in Rome, my wife and I finished up eating dinner at midnight, and you feel totally safe.
Oh,
you know, you're young. Yeah. 2013 also. We got on the subway, and there's a stop, just like Wrigley Field, the Colosseum stop. We bought a bottle of wine. And we sat outside the Colosseum. Just sat outside the Colosseum.
Lit up at night, right, Sylvie?
And we drank wine.
It's beautiful.
And that you can't pay for. It doesn't cost a cent other than the wine and the subway.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I'm like, we're sitting outside the Colosseum like it's Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
It could have been like a Roman would have been 2,000 years ago, drinking some wine at night. It wasn't lit up quite the same way, but that's okay.
You should have taken all your clothes off and just put a bed sheet on.
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, yeah, just go toga style.
I've never been to Paris, but Rome is the most beautiful city at night I've ever been to in my life. At night, that city, the way the monuments and the
better than Barcelona.
Yes, yeah. I've never seen anything lit up like Rome at night.
Well,
it's
it depends. I mean, if you're sitting on the garbage dumps at about 130th, looking at Cal City from his lounge.
Are you watching porn, Johnny?
He probably
I'm watching.
We got to go downstairs for our show real quick.
What are we
hard for? Brought to you by our great friends at Blue Chew. Try it for free. All you have to do, they'll give you a month's supply for free. All you have to do is pay $5 for the shipping and handling. That's it. But you have to use the unhinged code when you check out, bluechew.com. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Use it. You'll love it. Yurko vouches for it. Ozzy vouches for it. And so do millions of other men. So check out Blue Chew, bluechew.com, unhinged when you check out. I'm hard for the British Open, obviously.
Yeah, I
bet Rory. I bet Spieth and Rory.
Rory had himself
favorite,
a good
but
day.
But Rory's 6-under after his first round. So good start.
Not as good as Cameron Young.
Cameron Young has shot a 64, but I love the British. I love getting up early on the weekend and watching it. It's a lot of fun. So
I got one for you, Johnny, that you'll appreciate.
What are you
hard for? Saratoga opens today.
Oh,
and we'll
yeah.
be running all weekend.
They got good horses up there. Yeah,
they call it the spa.
They have one of the best meets, right?
Right.
It's like stage races every day.
It's 30 days.
Yeah.
And
Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right?
You'll see some two-year-old horses starting to run a little bit now.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for the juvenile races in first weekend of November.
My wife's going out of town this weekend for a while. I'm going to sit on my couch and watch Saratoga.
He's got 13 days. I wanted to throw a party.
Let's have a party, dude.
They got some, right? You should.
How old are you? Are you like,
no, I don't mean that. I mean like, I'll come up and cook. We'll have a big get
together.
Come
on
out. Let's go.
So bring the kids.
Let's go.
Maiden special weights. A lot of great maiden special weights. We got 2 years.
A lot of turf racing.
Coming out trying to break their maiden. And like it's $110,000 purse.
Yeah. I mean, you guys ever hear the story about us in Saratoga and Eddie O a few years ago? Is that story? I don't know if it's... You guys don't know that story?
No. I remember the story. We guys hit the pick six or when we almost hit the pick six?
No, we hit it.
This is the year you hit the pick six. The next year I got in on it.
Oh, yeah.
And we almost hit the pick six.
Oh, yeah, so you guys do know
the
that.
The year I got in on it was...
We got our asses kicked.
Well, we hit it, and then I was trying to tell everybody in the group...
To take...
Cash out now. All of us.
Yeah.
And the dopes, a few of the dopes...
Who were the dopes?
Zetterman. Primarily.
Wanted to press his luck.
He's going
to
do another one. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not going to do another one.
How much would you have taken?
We would have pocketed, like, I think 12 G's each. As it was, we pocketed about 5, which isn't bad. But we would have pocketed, like, 12 G's each.
That means you rifled through about $35,000 to $40,000.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Over the next 20 days, he went through about 20 grand, about 40 grand.
Yeah.
And I kept telling him, I'm like, guys, cash it out.
Well, that's why we should have... You're the one we should look to for gambling advice for that reason.
Thank you.
Not Danny.
Go to 12K each.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I think Waddle agrees with this. I'm not going to give any spoilers. We have yet to talk about it on the show. I am hard for the return of Better Call Saul.
Fucking unbelievable.
There are many shows that when they come back, like from the halftime splitting a season, and this is its final season, that in that first episode back, they're sort of resetting. They're getting you acclimated again. They're character developing for the big, like, crescendo. They came back, and oh my God, it was they took care of a lot of stuff, and you were on edge of your seat, and it was fantastic. Maybe one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen.
Well, I'm not caught up yet, so I can't wait. Lalo's the best character on TV right now.
I was going to say, like, we were having the conversation. My wife has not been in on Better Call Saul, but lately she's been peeking while she sort of knows what's going on. And I said, this is the guy who plays the role better than the brother in Ozark. Did you finish Ozark?
Not yet.
What's the Ozark's character's name at the end who comes to the United States and is the brother of the cartel's boss?
No, he's the uncle. He's the nephew. Yeah, he's a good character too.
Right. They're very similar, Lalo and him, but Lalo is a much better character.
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm blanking on his name right now.
For I am too.
But, and I made that comparison too. Yurko, quick, we got to go. Anything you're hard for?
Yeah, I'm hard for the young Cameron Young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cam, you got a fan in Yurko.
I hope he keeps it going, but I'm hard for the course.
This is a golfer, right?
St. Andrews.
The course is hard. The course is hard
and
dry.
It's rock hard. Yeah. Speaking of that, rock hard.
Yurko's hard, the course is hard.
St. Andrews is rock hard right now. If you saw the balls just kind of careening and caroming, if you will.
It's on Blue Chew.
Are you sure this isn't your move again?
It's on Blue Chew.
With your leg up, with balls careening?
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Vintage move.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?